Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
To you, Jack Kavanagh.
How are you doing, Ryan?
Are you well?
I'm good. How are you?
How old are you?
I'm 22.
22, and you were on holidays in Portugal, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah, so 3 years ago this summer, I went away with some friends, having spent the summer working as a lifeguard and as a windsurfing instructor. And it was the first day of our holidays in Portugal, and we were just on the beach, chilling out, running in and out of the water, sort of, having a laugh. And for I don't know how many times I did it that afternoon, but I just ran down one more time and dived in over a wave. And unfortunately, there was a sandbank behind the wave, and I hit the bottom and I broke my neck.
Oh, okay. Can you remember anything of the impact and the time of the accident?
Yeah, it's funny. I suppose I was very calm because I knew exactly what had happened, and I was so used to being in the water that I didn't panic at all. But it was just very simple, straightforward. All I felt was a little click, a bit of heat in my neck, and my body just went limp immediately. And it was that simple. Luckily, I was face down in the water. Luckily, my friends sort of realized I wasn't just playing dead, and came and helped me. But yeah, it was that simple.
Can I ask you, how did you know exactly what had happened, to use your own words?
Well, I as a lifeguard, I'd done training. I knew all the signs, symptoms. I suppose I was probably the only one out of all my friends that really knew how to deal with the situation on the beach, which was kind of ironic. But look, we came through it, and we went from there to intensive care in Portugal, back through the matter, through rehab, and I came out about 8 months later the other side of it, having sort of recovered and learned everything again from scratch, from how to straighten my arm out to how to sit upright and breathe by myself. So as it stands, I initially had no movement from the neck down, and as it stands now, like, I have regained control of my shoulders, bicep function, wrists. I don't have use of my fingers and hands, but you sort of learn little knacks for doing things. So that's where we are at the moment.
When they said to you, listen, Jack, it's not good, I mean, you said you knew exactly what had happened. Did you know that you would be paraplegic, or did you just think it was a less serious but intense accident?
Well, I'm actually quadriplegic, which means that... But I suppose, yeah, initially on the beach, I was very, very aware of potential implications.
Yeah.
But it's funny, as I went through, immediately your natural instinct is that this is an injury, I'm going to beat it. And while that's still the mentality, you realise, okay, maybe this is a little bit more long-term than I planned.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that when I was in Portugal, there was very much a language barrier there.
Mm.
And so I probably wasn't told in the same way that many people are. Look, based on current knowledge and medicine, the prognosis for you is that you won't walk. And I remember having that talk a couple of months later in rehab, and from the outset, I was told you'll need assistance from two people to do pretty much anything you want to do. From the outset, I just said, no, that's not going to be the way it is. And we're going to do everything in our power to defy that. And we're doing a pretty good job of it so far, so we're going to keep going.
Why were you so determined not to let that happen, the two people helping your business?
Put yourself in my shoes. You're just gone 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You literally have the world at your feet. I suppose I just gotten to a point in my life where I was really comfortable with myself, both mentally, physically. Everyone has like insecurities and things. I'd gotten to this point where I was just happy with myself, spiritually and emotionally. I was in a good place, and in an instant, you have the rug pulled from under you, and everything that you once knew and understood is different. But in lots of ways, it isn't different as well. And you find yourself questioning yourself on every front, and having to reassess, have I fundamentally changed as a person? You reassess how you perceive yourself, but also how other people perceive you. There's so many things to come to terms with. The first step of going out socially again, of how hard it is for other people. All these things come into play, and all you want back is your dignity and your independence, mm-hmm. and to relieve the stress from everyone around you and yourself. And so I think it's a very natural thing for someone to want to defy that kind of prognosis.
Mm. I'm struck by so many aspects of your story, Jack, and particularly, you know, you were 19 years old, you were on the beach, you'd come from a background of being a lifeguard, so you know, water was not enemy territory for you. And, you know, as you said, you're the world at your feet, this was a proper holiday, one last dive in, and then you've got this going on. How have you been managing emotionally and intellectually with this new reality physically?
Well, okay, physically, I suppose my big turning point was I made a decision. I had very good support the whole way through, and one of the decisions myself and my family made was that I was just getting ready to go back into second year pharmacy at Trinity when the accident happened, and that I was going to make it back the next year. And that was literally 12 months I had to get myself together, and from the time of the accident. And somehow I managed to find myself back in college, living in Front Square, away from my family, only 3 months after leaving rehab and 12 months after the accident. And the first couple of months were an absolute... It was just a real struggle, absolutely shattered at the end of the day, to the point where I couldn't even muster the energy to get into bed, and I'd fall asleep on the table for an hour or two before I got into bed. But what that allowed me to have was it started to give me my life back again. My friends were around me. I was back studying again. Yeah. I could get to the gym. And gradually that assisted in all the other aspects of my life. It allowed me to sort of appreciate that, okay, I'm still the exact same guy that I was before. And people, if I go into the situation portraying myself in that light, people will treat me no differently. And I think that had really big repercussions for my mental health, for my spiritual side, to. And the emotional aspect in particular, to realise, look, you're still the same bloke. In terms of the physicality of it, around Christmas time that year, I went over to Cambridge and did some specialist physio over there in a place called Prime Physio. And that really changed everything for me physically, because it taught me a new way. I was so active before, and I really didn't know how to associate with my body again after the injury. And really, I was only taught how to work with the parts that were working, which wasn't very much at the time. And that just didn't sit well with me. So I went over to this place, and they really taught me that the bread and butter is still there. You still have all the same muscles, the skeletal structure, everything's the same, and you need to work your entire body. And they showed me how to do that. And that really allowed me to reassociate with my body and realize that I'm still the one person. So all those things together, getting back to college and that experience and bringing all those training aspects into my regime, really allowed me to sort of kick on and find myself a bit again.
What about pints with the lads sort of thing? meeting women, all of that that you'd be doing at your age. I presume that's all on the agenda, is it?
All on the agenda, yeah. I suppose I wasn't too long, you could say, finding my feet, if you want, on how to get out and about again. I think it's funny, like, my class perceived me as the exact same. And so they didn't think twice when they were booking the first sort of class organised night out to have it a pub in down 15 steps on Baggot Street. So I think
they did that,
and I was carried down in a fairly efficient manner, and I think I floated back up at the end of the night.
So it's
rough and tumble, it's good fun.
Okay, so you're just, I love the fact that it's just not a barrier. I mean, you've obviously got good friends and good people around you.
Yeah, well, I've had excellent support, and I suppose that's really brings it on to what we're trying to do this summer.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So there's three things that are the cornerstones for what we're trying to achieve. Myself and a group of friends, well, for the last 2 years, I've watched a lot of my friends go away traveling and doing the thing that college students do. And I found, like, I was just on a different journey, I suppose, but I did find it really hard watching everyone else go. And I decided this summer, that's going to be me. I'm going. And so started putting a plan in motion, and I said some of the lads were over one evening, and in particular it was a friend called Dave, and we lived together in first year, and in first year we had made a promise to each other at the end of the year, and we said that before the end of college we will go traveling together, and it'll be a story we can tell our grandkids. And with everything that had happened, we sort of forgot about that promise. And anyway, so he was over earlier in the year, and I said, I was talking him through that I wanted to go away traveling. As soon as I raised it, he said, I'm in. And so from there, we started putting the bits and bobs in place. We decided that we wanted to do a road trip along the west coast of the States, all the way through California, from San Diego, the whole way up to through L.A., Santa Barbara, Yosemite National Park, San Fran, Lake Tahoe, and then we're flying out from Vancouver. That sounds very simple, but there's an awful lot of planning has gone into this. It's not just myself and Dave. We've put together a bit of a team. So my PA from college, who's become a really, really close friend of mine and Dave's, is coming. One of our best friends, who is really competent cameraman, is coming as well, and that brings it on to the next aspect. I felt for a long time that people had been giving and giving and giving to me and had been so supportive, and people seemed to be inspired by the way I was approaching things and by my story, and I suppose I found that strange, because I'm just trying to get on and get a handle of my life again. But I've been looking for a way to sort of maybe give back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is the opportunity. And that's when I met Alex and Gary from Snackbox Films. And I was talking to them about my story and what my plans are for the summer. And they said, that would be an amazing thing to document and to make a feature film of, or a documentary. And so that set the ball in motion, and we're leaving on Monday. At this point, we've fundraised to make the documentary, well, to make the initial part of the documentary happen. It's really expensive, actually, to make one, particularly all the editing and sound work that happens afterwards. But we're heading off on Monday. I really can't believe that. A couple of months back, we booked our flights, and it always seemed like the 1st of June was far away. And last Sunday, we were all chatting, and we said, it's a week away.
Yeah.
And it really hits home. And And it's funny, I don't think really any of us are nervous. There's just so many obstacles and challenges, but we just said, look, we're going to make this happen, and we planned and planned and planned to alleviate as many of those as we can. Now, our overriding, that's the first cornerstone, was that we made this promise and we wanted to fulfill the promise. The second thing is that it's just, we really wanted to be a group of mates heading off and traveling together, and it's that simple. But the third thing is, and it's important to say that this is not something that's unusual, all right? I have a slightly different set of circumstances to my mates, but people in my situation have traveled and traveled and traveled the world before. But we really want to document it, because we want to show to the broader public that fundamentally that limitations are only perceived limitations, and that if you want something badly enough and you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything. And that's really what this is about, is to show people that.
Well, it's a remarkable story, Jack, I have to say. I don't know what that was, a beep on the line. But I hope you get what you need, which is the funds to make the program, because that would certainly make for a great viewing. It's gofundme.com/getjacktosan-fran. That's the place people need to go to find out if they can help you along the way. So maybe we'll talk to you after the trip, Jack, but I wish you well on your travels.
Brilliant. Thanks very much and have a good day.
Very good to talk to you, and thanks for taking our call this morning.
No problem. Bye-bye. It's